So our text for this morning's meditations from our epistle reading, we heard these words a few moments ago, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, the gospel text that confronts us every year on the first Sunday in Lent, it continues to confront us, doesn't it? It continues to challenge us. And it challenges us, the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, because there are so many aspects of it that are hard to understand. But even though they're hard to understand, we know that they are true. Take, for instance, the fact that we ourselves, like Christ, are tempted. There's a reality to that, isn't there? A reality to the fact that there are moments when we ourselves consider doing something we know we shouldn't do, a thing which if we do, there will be horrible consequences, if not immediately, in the long run. And from the temptation of Christ, we also know that the temptations with which we ourselves are faced are of a similar type to those of Christ. That is, we too are tempted, like Christ, to take a shortcut when, for example, it comes to procuring the food that we need. As children, we were taught that even though we had the capacity to take food out of the pantry, or we could take it out of the cupboard, or we could take it out of the fridge, yes, even though we could simply take the food out of our kitchen that was there and eat it, that we shouldn't do that. We should not. For that food was under the purview of our parents, under their authority, food provided by them for us and was there in the kitchen for certain times. It was there for certain purposes, chiefly meals for the entire family. And it wasn't there simply for us to consume it well, even though we could. We could. Tempting God by putting ourselves in dangerous situations in a haphazard fashion. We've had that experience as well, haven't we? Sure, we were taught the rules of the road in driver's ed, and we'd gotten our driver's licenses, but, you know, shouldn't all the numbers of the speedometer of the car be used? Not just those up to 70? The triple digits as well as the double digits? At least one time. I mean, they are there. Think of the temptation of Christ to throw himself off the temple frequently when I see those videos on YouTube or Facebook, people jumping off cliffs or doing huge jumps on their bicycles or motorcycles or doing all sorts of other things that if they make one mistake, they're going to die. But the temptation is there, isn't it? To throw all caution to the wind for the thrill of it. And what about doing something wrong, something illegal, like stealing or cheating or falsifying records or manipulating test results in order to conquer the world? That is, to achieve success and glory and honor. That's also real too, isn't it? Yes, each year on the first Sunday of Lent, as we are literally confronted with the temptation of Christ, we're reminded once again that the temptations that he went through there in the wilderness are temptations that we ourselves have experienced. And so hearing of them once again, we can only affirm their veracity. And so what of the fact that the Holy Spirit himself led Christ into the wilderness for such temptations? What do we do with that idea? That the Holy Spirit pushed him out into the wilderness so he would be tempted. It's hard to understand. But it's not as if when we were baptized, we were immediately ushered into heaven, right? Or when we were confirmed, vowing to be faithful to our Lord and Savior even unto death, we were never tempted to sin ever again. If anything, after we were confirmed, such temptations increased in their intensity. For as those in whom the Holy Spirit dwelt and who had confessed Christ publicly, we were venturing out into the world by ourselves, away from our parents, away from our family, And while up until that time we had been kept from all sorts of dangerous situations, as we grew and we got older and found ourselves alone, we very much could feel like we ourselves were in a wilderness of sorts, all alone, by ourselves, with temptations aplenty confronting us each and every day. But Jesus was God, we could counter, so withstanding such temptations was not truly difficult for him. But we would also then need to admit that we too are children of God, sons and daughters of God. We too have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we too know 9 times out of 10 what we should do in any given situation, and yet we falter and we fumble and we fail, and we falter and fumble and fail because we are, well, we're alone. We're by ourselves. Or at least we're convinced by the devil, the world around us, and our own flesh, that is our sin-tainted heart and mind, that we are all alone, all by ourselves, a single human being among billions confronted with challenges and trials and troubles that we cannot overcome unless somehow we take matters into our own hands. So the overarching situation for Jesus there in the wilderness, "You're all alone, Jesus," we can imagine Satan saying to him, "You're all alone. All you have is you. No one else. No one else cares about you. No one else is going to care what happens to you. And no one's going to do anything in any way to help you. And that being the case, you don't owe anyone any type of allegiance. You don't need to think about God or your parents or your family or friends. So you just do what you think is right, Jesus, because you're all you got." How many people nowadays think that way? Thousands? Tens of thousands? Millions? How many people, especially young people, witnessing the collapse of their family or never even having a family, grow up thinking that they are in this universe all by themselves, completely alone, utterly and completely alone? A recently released survey taken across 142 countries representing 77% of the world's population found that 24% of people aged 15 and older self-reported feeling very or fairly lonely in response to the question, "How lonely do you feel?" Very lonely, the answer for many. So is the world experiencing an epidemic of loneliness? That's what's being suggested. That was what the headline was on the article. And is that a good thing? No. No. Our text from Hebrews then tells us this: "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, having been baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit has come to live within us. And Christ is always present with us as well. And so is, amazingly, the Father. Jesus put it this way: "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." You see, in Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we're never alone. Ever. In Christ we are never alone. So Psalm 46, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So Luther could read this psalm and pen the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken." Meaning he helps us every time we're overcome with something. Why? Because he's with us. The young David who would eventually become King David, believed that this was so, that he was not alone. While others shrank back then, while others stronger than he, more experienced than he, more mighty than he, ran away in fear from the taunts of Goliath, for who could, after all, defeat such a huge man in battle? David stepped forward, but he did not understand that in doing so he was alone, that he was all by himself, that he was forsaken by God. "You come to me," he told Goliath. "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Ah, look at all the lonely people. The Beatles sang already way back in 1966, the year I was born, 58 years ago. Ah, look at all the lonely people. And I will add to that, wringing their hands in fear, wondering what's going to happen to them and to the world, and so living in anguish and distress, and even worse, so many thinking, since I'm alone, all alone, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to feel good about myself. Even if I end up doing and living how I know I shouldn't. I'll cut corners, I'll tempt God with my behaviors, and I will try to make it in the world in whatever way I can. I mean, no one cares about me. What does it matter? I'm all alone. But we're not alone. Ever. Even if we don't acknowledge the existence of God, He acknowledges our existence by caring for us. In fact, the only person who's ever truly been alone was His Son, Jesus Christ. When His suffering and death on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me all alone? And why was the Son of God left all alone, really and truly by God? So that He could die. So that He could offer Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world in that death. That means your sins, my sins, the sins that so often flow from the idea in our head that we're all alone, so it doesn't matter what we do. That's not true. We're not alone. We can, along with David and the Apostle Paul, do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He strengthens us because He's with us, constantly becoming part of us through our baptism into Him, assuring us through His Word that He forgives the sins that we do commit, the sins that drive us away from those around us in guilt and shame. And forgiving our sins, He picks us up and He dusts us off and He pushes us back into life, back among people, back into the world with the assurance that He's with us always, even to the close of the age. Now, it's not that we must in Christ all become A-type personalities or extroverts, the life of the party, glowing personalities that float through one social situation after another, inspiring everyone that we meet. No. Life of King David, about which we know so much, especially his thoughts and feelings recorded for us in the Psalms, tell us that life itself is a challenge for everyone, for every single person on the face of this earth. In Christ, however, we should always be aware that we ourselves are never alone, never by ourselves, never forsaken by God, our loving Heavenly Father, so that even if we do find ourselves by ourselves, we're not. So let's not fall to the temptation of Satan, who would at that moment come to us with the argument that somehow we must do something other than we know we should. Our text again. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.